for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the annual Deliverance Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Thursday evening, October the 24th, 2013. Frank Marzullo, Jr. is the speaker of this service, teaching on spirits that attach to leaders and attack the church.
So, I held up this book the last time. This is one of the books I wrote, and it's about spiritual warfare now. And it's 10 lessons on spiritual warfare. And I gave you lesson number 10, which was about levels of spiritual warfare. And there's, if you go to the back, there's a few books left. Do they have any more back there? You got a few more? Okay. And so you won't miss the meeting that we had the other night if you just pick up a book and read lesson number 10. And then we went into deliverance for it. Tonight, I'm going to be teaching you out of this book, which is Spirits That Attach to Leaders and Attack the Church. Now, family, I really did write that out of a lot of life experiences of what I've seen, the shenanigans and the foolery and inside the church. And I didn't do it to be mean or to be cruel, but to correct the body of Christ and your ministers. Most of you here are ministers. And a lot of times ministers, they take on a lot of their flesh goes into the pastoral. And a lot of the things that are attached to the flesh are demonic. So there are things that attach to you, your paradigms, your life paradigms, and the things that you have gone through that you're bringing to the pulpit. And the enemy is using you in some instances in your ministry, unbeknownst to you. And I found, as I studied the pastoral, the evangelical, the teacher, the ministers.
Praise God. Thank you,
Don. We appreciate you, Don.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you, brother.
So I wrote this to help the body of Christ grow and to mature. This is part of one of the things that my ministry does. I'm an evangelist, and I help people mature in their gifts. I help them get to where God wants them to go. And I do this with great humility because I know whom I'm talking to. I'm talking to fellow elders in the body of Christ. And I want to start off by thanking the Lord. And I ask you, O Lord, to open up our minds to receive from you. I ask that you pour your truth into us, O Holy Spirit, as I teach and I preach. I thank you for bringing revelation. I thank you for bringing understanding and for your knowledge and for giving us the truth so we can defeat the enemies in our lives. Thank you, O God. Now, this teaching is about evil spirits that attach to leaders and attack the church. And I start off first with Jezebel and Ahab. They were real people in the Bible. And the evil spirits that manifested from them attached themselves to their personalities. And those spirits that were attached to their personalities were most likely around a long time before they even hit Ahab and Jezebel. Amen? You understand? So Jezebel and Ahab were famous people in the Bible. They were, by their actions, we could learn how these evil spirits work in a person's life by how they attach to their personalities. And these spirits and these that attach to the personalities, they gain the most by being obscure. So when you are in ministry and you start doing and saying things and you start to see your flock wean away and you start to see your congregation going away, maybe
there is something that is attached to you that needs to be corrected. And in today's times, if you look at Jezebel and Ahab, we know what a person looks like because we study Jezebel and her characteristics, and we study Ahab and his characteristics. We recognize how the spirits manifested in their lives, so now we can recognize how it manifests in our lives as well, and other people's lives. So let's start off with Jezebel. Jezebel was a Zidonian princess. She was married to King Ahab of Israel and was a wicked queen. She followed the religious practices of her father, Ethbaal. Ethbaal means man of Baal. And he sacrificed children on the altar of Baal. Jezebel followed the same practice of child sacrifice, and she brought that into Israel. And she, when she married the king of Israel, she worshipped not only worshipped as her father did Ethbaal, but she worshipped Astoreh, that is the goddess of fertility. And so these are like carved poles next to the Baal altar. These are like forests or trees carved, or poles carved, and they worship those too, next to the Baal altar. Now, Astoreh was the counterpart lover, mother, / of Baal. Baal was having an affair with his mother, apparently. And so, but Baal represented the god of thunder and lightning and the power in the skies. You know why Jezebel was after the prophet so bad? Because he stopped the skies from raining. All right? And this embarrassed her in Israel. So Baal, who was the god of thunder and lightning, was stopped. And Jezebel introduces these goddesses of fertility, of sex, orgies, of lust, of sexual immorality. And she says, okay, no more of your god. Let's worship my god. And of course, people, being people, go after the lust and the orgies and the all of that. So they're going for the orgies and the immorality. And so she turns the hearts of the people away from the God of Israel. In essence, she's stating, no more of your standard. You go by my standard now. And now we see we have free love, free sex, free immorality, anything you want sexually. And doesn't that sound like the age of Aquarius that happened in the 60s? So we have this going on in Israel, and of course the people would rather have that than restriction on their lives, so they go for that. In today's times, we don't have child sacrifice, but we have abortion. So when we think of Jezebel, when we think of Baal, we think of abortion, spiritually speaking. So when we are ministering to somebody, and we minister and we find out that they have had an abortion, or they were privy to the abortion and agreed with it, then we know that the spirit of Baal and Jezebel are there. So we go after those when we're praying for deliverance. Jezebel spent a lot of time hunting down the prophets of God. She went out to destroy and kill the prophets of God. And one of the plans of this spirit is to destroy the Word of God, the works of God, and the people of God. You may find yourself in ministry and you find this destruction after your ministry. You find that there's people after your ministry to destroy your ministry or your work in your ministry. Well, it could be that there's a spirit of Jezebel after that. You understand? Do not just push that aside. There could be an evil spirit of Jezebel after your ministry. So Jezebel surrounded herself with 400 false prophets and 450 of false prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Astoreh. She had a lot of ministers, if you will, false ministers around her, advising her and supporting her. So in 1 Kings, so we find that in 1 Kings 18:19, she's got false worship. Now, you may have in your congregation some false worship going on because there's a Jezebel in there. Or maybe there's more than one of Jezebel. I know this, and Jezebel wants to control. So anytime that you find control in your church, you may consider calling the spirit of Jezebel out. 1 Kings 21, she covets the vineyard of another. She plots his murder, conspires with worthless men, writes letters bearing false witness against the owner of the vineyard, usurps King Ahab's authority, uses his ring, seals the letter with it, and falsely represents his authority to achieve her goal. And she has this man put to death so that she can steal his vineyard. And verse 25 through 26, the prophet Elijah exposes Jezebel by inciting Ahab to do evil. The spirit of Jezebel will lead others to do evil for her. Okay? Controlling and manipulating and dominating. So you may not see the actual work of Jezebel in a church, but you may find that there's others that are doing her dirty work. So she uses other people to do the work. And there's another spirit that does the same thing, and I'll share that later on. So we can see this spirit that manifests out of this woman was to control others by manipulation, domination, and control. That's witchcraft. That's why we call Jezebel witchcraft. Amen? You understand? So he uses other people's authority to accomplish what she wants to do. She will find a weak pastor, which is usually called an Ahab. She will find, and you will find people in marriage too, that are married, where a Jezebel is the controlling one in the family, and the weaker one would be the Ahab spirit, the husband. And so we find that in a lot of ministry, when I do a lot of ministry. They seem to be attracted to each other. And this is what's behind Jezebel's spirit now. She is against the anointed. She's against the true prophetic. She spends her time going after the anointed, the prophetic people. She will use any means she can to get close to the prophetic people in order to do them harm, to accuse them, to put them in bad light to the authority of the church. Now, maybe you've been a pastor, maybe you've been a minister, maybe you're in some sort of leadership, and someone is trying to put someone else in bad light to you. Consider that a Jezebel. Now, Jezebel does not necessarily have to be a woman. All right, it can be a man to try to gain control over the church or over your ministry. So when you feel that there's something maneuvering its way in position next to you in your ministry, understand that it could be a Jezebel spirit, whether it be a man or a woman. So if you're in the ministry and if you're in the prophetic, be very discerning. Remember, Jezebel's after the prophetic and after ministers. Be very discerning. Look for Jezebels around you. Now, that's not to say be suspicious of everyone, but that's to be open. Open up your spiritual eyes to look and see if there's a Jezebel that is trying to manipulate or move you. Now, that's what she does. She tries to make you look. Here's what she does. She tries to be around you all the time and try to maneuver you all the time to make you, or to make maybe even you, look tainted. Maybe she's trying to make somebody that goes to your church look tainted or look evil or appear evil in the eyes of the church authority to destroy somebody or their ministry, upcoming ministry, or maybe even their ministry, or maybe even your ministry. So she tries to do that. She destroys prophets and their ministry. And dear Heavenly Father, pray with me now. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, please forgive me if I in any way acted like a Jezebel. As a believer, you've given me authority and power over the power of the enemy. Luke 10:19 declares that. And 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving me. And now next we're going to cast out this all the unclean spirits that are attached to this demonic spirits that have afflicted you or harassed you or influenced you. Maybe you are the Jezebel. Maybe you are the Jezebel. Or maybe the Jezebel is after you. The spirit of that. All right, so next we're going to cast these out. They come out in the name of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I command out of me
the spirit of Jezebel.
The The spirit of witchcraft.
The spirit of witchcraft.
All spirits that are against the anointed.
All spirits that are against the anointed.
Spirit of seduction.
Spirit of
Antichrist.
Antichrist.
Whoredom. Spirit of deception.
Spirit of evil plots.
Evil schemes. The spirit that hides behind.
And
uses other people's authority.
To achieve its plans.
You.
The
evil spirit.
That makes me write letters against innocent people.
And accuse them.
You, the spirit of the goddess of fertility,
sex,
orgies,
lust of the eyes,
lust of the flesh,
Baal worship,
abortion,
idolatry,
Astarte worship,
sex,
of worship of sexual organs,
sexual immorality,
the spirit of the god of self,
perverse religious practices,
spirit that destroys religious leaders,
spirits that turn people's hearts away from righteousness,
conspiracy,
slander,
covetousness,
strife,
flirtatious,
wickedness,
murder,
false representation
of authority,
usurper of authority,
spirit that turns people away from the Word.
The Word of God.
Spirits that surround themselves
with false believers
and false prophets.
Mind control.
The spirit of the accuser of the brethren.
Come out of me now.
In the name of Jesus.
Take a deep breath and blow out.
Go in the name of Jesus. Get out.
In the name of Jesus.
You spirit of Jezebel, get out.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Now, some of you may have been under the influence of that, and some of you may have operated in it, like I said. And some of you may not even known that you have been under the influence or operated in it. You just didn't know. But something stirred in you tonight as I called these things out. And you go, oh, maybe it was me. Maybe I was doing it. And that's why the enemy is so deceiving. He does not want to be noticed. He does not want to be found out. He wants to remain obscure. He doesn't want you to see what he's doing. Now, the spirit of Ahab, the counterpart of Jezebel, is simply this. It's a spirit that attaches to a man who has been given a position of authority, either by marriage or society, government or church. And that means you guys. Okay? That means you. Women have an Ahab spirit as well. They lay their authority down. So one who advocates his or her authority allows others to trample upon them and abuse them and misuse the authority in any way they want to. Don't be polite to the demons anymore. Amen? Don't be polite. Okay, they pull the strings and Ahab lets them with no resistance to stop them. They can do anything they want in the marriage and Ahab lets them do it. Or in their ministry. Ahab lets them do it. Ahab lets them trample upon their marriage, lets them trample upon their ministry. Naturally. Or whether it's church government, or whether it's physically in your marriage. So the same thing. So Ahab and the spirit of Jezebel, like I said, are mutually attracted. They seek each other out and attach themselves to each other. When you see an Ahab, basically you're going to see a Jezebel right there with him. Or vice versa. So the Ahab spirit will listen. Here's what happens with an Ahab spirit. Will listen to lying and deceiving spirits. Not only coming from his wife, but coming from false prophets. Remember, they were surrounded by false prophets. So you may have surrounded yourself by false prophets in your churches or in your ministries. You may have them surrounded you that lie to you, and the words that they say to you will lead you down the wrong road. And if you believe the lie from their lips, it's to your own destruction. It's to your own destruction. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 21 through 23. There were prophets that came to Ahab with a lying spirit so that Ahab would be destroyed. God, you know what? God wanted to take Ahab out. So he allowed him to go into battle. The true spirit, this true spirit of the prophet, spoke to them. He says, no, I want to listen to the lying spirits. These other guys here. The spirit came forward in 1 Kings and stood before the Lord. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 21. And said, I will go and persuade him. The Lord said, in what way? So he said, I will go out as a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. Remember, they had, 900 prophets? 950 prophets? I will go out and be a lying spirit in all of his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him. You shall persuade him and also prevail. Go and do so. Therefore, look, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours. And the Lord has declared disaster against you. So he wanted Ahab out of the picture. And so Ahab was surrounded with these false religious prophets. Now, if that's you, say, I'm sorry, Lord. I confess that I've surrounded myself with lying prophets and false prophets. And I confess it as sin. Please forgive me. Now I command out of me the spirit that surrounds me with false religious beliefs, false friends, false information. I command the spirits of crybaby, fear of woman, fear of offending, escape, abandon leadership, spirit that relinquishes control, the spirit of failure, weakness, spiritual weakness, weak leadership, no leadership, compromise, poor decision making, seeking to be dominated, negative attention by verbal abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, complacency, apathy, submission to wickedness, spirit that allows me to be manipulated, controlled, dominated, the spirit that agrees to allow abortion, sexual immorality, or to participate with others in any sin. I command that out of me now. In the name of Jesus. Ahab, go! In the name of Jesus. The next one I'm going to talk to you about is called the celebrity spirit that attaches to leaders. This spirit is invited by either one of two things. Fame, or those who seek fame, or, in other words, if you're already famous, the spirit is attracted to you. If you're not already famous, but you're on the way, or you're seeking fame, or on the road to fame, that is also an invitation for the spirit to come and visit and possibly attach itself to you. Some of you are really on your way up. Some of you here that are in ministry, you may have started a ministry a long time ago, and then at the appropriate time, God just goes, and off you go, and off you go, and you take off.
That's right.
But there's a spirit that could be attached to you or looking at you very carefully to try to attach to you. Everyone can agree that they're superstars. Amen? There's superstars in the body of Christ. There's those people that are famous and well-known. Can you hand me some water? The enemy was trying to shut my throat. That's not mine. I don't want that. That's got cooties. So we have superstars, and some people might go to the church because they are attracted to the celebrity spirit of that superstar. And they're in your own hometown or your own region. You got superstars in your area. You got mega churches. You got these big bodies of Christ, and you've got people that are magnificent speakers, and people are drawn to them and they're attracted to them. There's a lot of charisma coming from the pulpit. And I'm not saying that these people are wrong in every sense, or there is a spirit attached to them in every sense, but there could be. You understand? There could be. And we'll dig a little deeper into the celebrity here. People go to this church because they're attracted to the celebrity spirit of that minister and not the anointing. Have you ever noticed that where you find the anointing, there may be lower crowds than the big celebrity church? And that's very interesting, isn't it? People are attracted to the celebrity instead of the anointing of God. Many Christians are in the grip of the spirit and don't recognize that. And some of those are in a position, are oppressed by the spirit of celebrity. They don't even recognize that their allegiance, their loyalty, and their following is usually because of that spirit. I want someone to come up here and pray for me right now. So let me go back over that, because that was a distraction of the enemy. Many are in a grip of the spirit and don't recognize that. And if people are attracted to their these churches and these leadership positions who are oppressed by the spirit of celebrity, don't recognize that their allegiance to the loyalty and their following is usually by the spirit of celebrity. Often this is why Christians get entrenched in their church where there's no anointing. And they go to church, but there's no anointing there. And you try to ask them, hey, come on over to and visit my church. And they go, no, I don't want to offend my pastor, who, you know, I worship and adore. So there's a... they'd rather stay there where there's no anointing, there's no charisma of the Holy Spirit, and they're very dry churches, very dry. And many of you think they are, many of those that are following this spirit think that they're following Christ, but in reality they're following man. And if you suggest to them that they ought to choose between a congregation of worship atmosphere under a non-celebrity or one that's more spiritually pure and a congregation of worship atmosphere, they'd probably try to remain under the celebrity. You understand? Because you see, when the spirit of celebrity partners with the spirit of error, people will give their money and their time in a place where there's no anointing. And there's no real move of God coming from the pulpit, but because the celebrity is there, they stay there. Now, the celebrity spirit tells us humans that there's some good reason, spiritually speaking, to tolerate compromise or inconsistencies in spiritual leadership that flow from those whose motivation is to procure their own fame and dominance. Now, there's a lot of people that just stay there and they tolerate and they make excuses for their leader or their pastor. In several churches that I've been in, there's been several instances where there's a bank of guards guarding the pastor. There's a wall of secretaries that you cannot get through to get to the pastor. And the pastor seems to be always too busy to answer your phone or call you back or email you back. Anything. He's just too busy. And so what happens is that the people that are mesmerized by the celebrity spirit make excuses for him. Oh, he's a busy man. He's a spiritual man. He has so many things to do. Why, I understand. And you should understand too. No! He's a shepherd. He's a shepherd of the flock. I've been in churches with 700 people. And I call the pastor at home. And he answers his phone. Or I call him at church. And he answers the phone. Or his secretary answers the phone and says, wait 1 minute please. Boop, I'm in. And it's not because I'm something special. It was because he answered the phone. And he spent a minute, 2 minutes on the phone with me, maybe, at the most. Redirected me if he needed to be, or even took care of what he needed to take care of. He didn't have this stall of our bank of secretaries and armed guards. And so I've been in churches where there's big congregation that the pastor can be a pastor and do the work of the pastor. And then I've been in churches where it's a celebrity where you can't get through to them. And you start making excuses for them. The way to test and see if this leader has a celebrity spirit is to take their spiritual temperature and just ask yourself these questions about them. Would the minister or teacher or leader or evangelist or whomever, prophet or whatever, would still be living a life of service to Christ if it wasn't a means for them to be well known? Some people want to be well known. They want that attraction. They want people to worship them, to adore them. And they place themselves in that position. Secondarily, is it for gain for them to become famous, such as money? So you can ask yourself, that's a test to find out if it's a celebrity. Are they there for the money? Are they there for the position and the notoriety? If they had to choose a church where they made no money, would they still do it? If they had to choose a church and serve Jesus Christ without being well known, would they do it? So that's a test that you can find out. Now, some people use Jesus Christ to get prominence, influence, and power, and money. So you have to ask yourself, is this a real reason why this man or this woman's in leadership? Why are they there? And so I might ask you the same question. Why are you there? Why are you in ministry? Why are you doing what you're doing? I'm here to challenge you tonight, okay? I want to put you guys in the hot seat. You're in the hot seat, right? You guys are in the hot seat tonight. Because I want to find out what your motive is for ministry. And I want you to look at what your motive is for ministry. I want you to search your heart and find out, what is the reason why I'm doing what I'm doing? It could be some repentance of that tonight, amen? And that's what we're here for. To set the course straight and to get you back on track again. That's why we have ministers' conferences. So there's a reason why I'm giving this message tonight. I was going to switch over and give another one here, overthrowing the kingdom of darkness with violence, but the Lord said, no, don't do that. These are ministers. Minister to the ministers. So that's what I'm doing. So, are you there for gain? Are you in the position you're in right now for gain of some sort? Ask yourself that question. Am I playing the God game so I can get noticed? Am I playing this religious game so I can get noticed by a few people and gather a few disciples around me and puff myself up? Ask yourself these things. So, there are those in the religious community that play that God game. I hope you're not one of them for personal profit. And there are those who are taken in by them, and often sincere people who lack discernment. And they're soon parted with their money and their time. And I tell you, sadly, there's a lot of sincere believers who are sitting under a leader who is not following the Holy Spirit. But all they want is that leader. He wants his day in the sunshine. That's it. He wants his day in the sunshine, his day in the spotlight, to be seen and heard, and to be given much accolade. I hope that's not you. I want you to check your motives again. The one who hosts the celebrity spirit is committing spiritual adultery. Spiritual adultery, spiritual prostitution, making himself an idol, one to follow, to be idled and worshipped. Are you listening? The spirit wants to be idolized and worshipped. The celebrity spirit. Now we see in Acts chapter 8, we see after the disciples had been scattered from Jerusalem, they went out to Samaria. And there was one certain evangelist that went out there. Let me give you the scripture. Acts chapter 8, verse 9 through 23. But there was a certain man called Simon who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished people, the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, and to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. Everybody say, this man is the great power of God. The spotlight was on him.
That's right.
Right? He's the guy! Simon the sorcerer. And so they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, the crowd believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself was baptized. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and the signs that were done. So we have the city turned upside down. People are being baptized, men and women alike. And Simon himself gets baptized. Now, verse 14, when the apostles heard in Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John to come, who, when they had come down, prayed for that might receive the Holy Spirit, for he had not yet fallen on none of them. Now, this is a great scripture, because now we can see several things here. We can see Simon, who repented, maybe, I'm not sure yet, let's keep on going, and getting baptized, but he had not received the Holy Spirit yet. Right? So, then he sent the apostles. The apostles got word of it, and they came to release the Holy Spirit upon them. Then, verse 17, then they laid hands on them, and they say, laid hands.
Lay hands.
You missed it if you weren't here this afternoon. But we're going to do something at the end here, too.
Praise God.
Amen? Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, and when Simon saw that through the laying out of the hands, the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also. Everyone say power.
Power.
Why did he want that? Because he was the great man of God in that city, you see, the power of God. And he says to himself, I want that to put in my bag of tricks. Also, I want that also. Give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay my hands may receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with thee, because he thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart, everybody say heart, is not right in the sight of God. Repent. Everybody say repent.
Repent.
Yahoo. That quick. Isn't that great? One word later. Repent. That's how good God is too. You know? He may catch us with our hand in the cookie jar. You know? And then the next thing out of God's mouth is repent. I love you. Repent. Repent, therefore, of your wickedness, and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound in iniquity. He was a bitter guy. Peter discerned this. Peter saw right through the smoke. He was a bitter guy. Now, a sorcerer is one who uses drugs. That's where we get the word pharmacy, pharmaceica, drug user. And also, he deceives and manipulates and controls others by doing magic tricks. So we find that he is a mixture of things here. And he uses demonic power. No, he believed and was baptized, verse 13. Something of Simon's past surfaced. And so it is with you too. There may be something in your past that surfaces that needs to be dealt with. Something that needs to be dealt with. Some past bondage. Probably to manipulate others. Maybe you were a manipulator before you got saved. Maybe you were a controller before you got saved. I know I was. I controlled with anger before I got saved. And then there I was, saved and still controlling with anger. But he was controlling with bitterness, wasn't he? So he had bitterness, unforgiveness in his heart. Others, self-exalting. He wanted to manipulate others with self-exalting. He had a self-exalting purpose to be known as the what? The great power of God when the apostles left. Because that's what he was before. And he wants to remain that. He wants to remain the great power of God. So, therefore, he wanted to be seen, wanted to be heard, wanted to be worshipped. He wanted all of that. He wanted the spotlight on him. He was a celebrity before they came. He wants to remain a celebrity after they leave. So, any one of the celebrity spirits are seeking a platform for personal gain. Now, you may have come under that spirit, or you may have operated in that spirit. You may have been mesmerized by this celebrity person, that you've gone to church and you've gone to their ministry, and you may have been under that celebrity type of spirit, and or maybe you yourself have operated in that spirit yourself. To be seen, to be noticed, and let the spotlight be on you. So if I'm speaking to you, that you are looking for a position in the church to be seen and noticed, maybe it's not that. Maybe you want to be the deacon of the church. Maybe you want to be the usher of the church. Maybe you want the spotlight to be on you. I don't know. But there could be some things that you could be attracted to. But that's sin, brothers and sisters. That's idolatry. That's sin. You're placing yourself up above of our Lord Jesus Christ for a position to be noticed by men and women. That's sin. That's self-idolatry. So I want you to understand. I challenged everybody in the last time I spoke this in Beaumont. I challenge everyone here who has websites, right? I challenge you to look at your website or your flyers that you put out. If you put out flyers of your speaking engagements, if you put out anything on your website, on your front page, your home page, I want you to check that. And I have to mention this. I want you to check the site, the front page, or your flyer. Have you mentioned have you mentioned Jesus Christ on your front page by name? Have you said on your front page the words Jesus Christ, who you are representing? I want you to look at that. I want you to see if you mention salvation. I want you to check that to see. I want you to see if there's the word repentance on your front page, restoration, healing, or just maybe you just mentioned healing and deliverance, but you forgot who it was for or who it was by. I want you to check that. Have you mentioned just healing and deliverance? Have you mentioned your wonderful program instead of Jesus Christ? Have you mentioned what you're going to do, your agenda, instead of Jesus Christ? Ouch. I see a couple of people squirming good. Yeah. Have you mentioned your credentials in there? Or did you just mention salvation and through Jesus Christ, baptism of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ? You know, what are you promoting? Who are you promoting? Are you under the spell of the celebrity spirit? Get back to your website, get back to your flyers, redo them, and put Christ at the top. He gets top bill, not you. Lord, I want to remain pure. And not give place to those evil spirits of celebrity. Please forgive me now. In the name of Jesus, I command out of me every spirit of greed, deception, self-deception, all lying spirits that caused me to lie, that caused me to lie to me, and all lying spirits. Take a deep breath and blow out. Go in Jesus' name. I command out of me all the spirits that the devil sent me to guide me his way. Counterfeit teacher, counterfeit prophet, counterfeit apostle, counterfeit evangelist, counterfeit pastors, evil spirits of multiple personalities, evil spirits that make me seek the spotlight, to seek a platform, to seek power, to be known, to be seen, to be noticed, to seek to be a celebrity. I command them all out of me in the name of Jesus. I command out of me idol worship, lust for money, lust for power, lust for position, spirit of religious error, spirit of witchcraft, control, spirits that enchant and mesmerize the crowd. I command out of me deception, finger pointing, out of me now, in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath and blow out. Go in Jesus' name. Go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. The next one's called Barabbas. There's the spirit of Barabbas. Now remember, Barabbas was mentioned in all four Gospels. Barabbas was the one who was exchanged at the cross for Jesus. And he was to be executed for sedition, insurrection, and murder. If you look throughout the Gospels, you will see that one Gospel says this, one says that, one says this, but you add them all together, and it's for execution for sedition, insurrection, and murder. And he was also called a robber. So we have several things that he was noted for: theft, murder, sedition, and insurrection. Because of the custom of the day, the crowd could demand the exchange of a prisoner that was to be executed, and they cried out for Barabbas to be executed. Now, it's an interesting thing, because Barabbas means son of the father. Barabbas. Oh, who got executed? Jesus, son of our Heavenly Father. Isn't that interesting? And so the thing was, I believe Satan set that up to mock God. He set that up to mock God. And the Webster's Dictionary, by the way, it says a thief is this. A thief is one who blatantly and openly steals, robs, means to deprive someone of something rightfully owned. And to murder in the dictionary says this: is homicide with malice, that is, with deliberate intent. Another encyclopedia states that sedition is an overt conduct such as speech and organization to tend towards insurrection against the established order. Remember who he was. He was exchanged, and look what he did in the natural. We're going to see how this applies in the spiritual to you. Okay, so he's against the established order. Sedition is stirring up a rebellion against the government and power. This is what it is in the natural and the spiritual sense. It has a parallel meaning. It is the spirit that stirs up disorder and rebellion against the leadership or government of the church. There's a spirit that goes after church leadership, and it is called Barabbas, the spirit of Barabbas. Remember what Jezebel did? We knew her by what her actions were. So we call out the spirit of Jezebel because of her control, manipulation, and domination. Right. Well, we're going to call out what this evil spirit does. Okay? The Barabbas spirit attacks leadership or causes trouble in the church at the top portion, but it starts way down at the bottom portion, in the crowd. Okay? It starts way down. And with the people inside the church, or maybe some of that are on the outside of the church. But it starts way down and tries to get to the top leadership, to insurrect the leadership. Now, the top portion of the leadership in the government of the church is found in Ephesians 4:11. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Now, that's not only the government of the church, but that's also the function of leadership. So, Barabbas wants to destroy the function and the authority of leadership. So I would include all, I would, even though it's not written here, I would include elders, deacons, worship leaders, prayer warriors, altar workers, home group leaders, counselors, and people that are called into leadership are being called into leadership. The ones that are being called, see some of you in chairs, in these red chairs here, are being called into leadership. Some of you sitting here, you know, I look through the crowd and I see leadership rising. I do. I see leadership rising. I see people going on missions into other countries, and I see people that are starting to rise up in their positions of leadership. I see people that are known to be prophetic, and they're starting to rise in their gifts and leadership. And the enemy is after that. Barabbas is after to insurrect that. And this is what the spirit attacks. It attacks those that are in leadership or heading towards it. To insurrect it, to stir up trouble against it, the established order that God set in place. God has set leaders in place and those rising to leadership. He's setting them in place too. Come and take the higher chair, he's saying, to some of you. He's trying to do that. So God raises up leaders, and so that those leaders can teach, encourage, and lift up the body of Christ, so that they won't be tossed around by everyone, the doctrine. That's why you're here today too. You're here today, tonight, in order to straighten out some doctrine. Amen? Some things that you've learned. Now you need to unlearn some things too. And so the enemy comes to stir up trouble those whose function and leadership, so that they can destroy the sheep underneath them. If he can attack the sheep and scatter the leader, he can scatter the sheep too. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now, ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular, and God has set some in the church first, apostles second, prophets third, teachers, and after that, miracles and the gifts of healing, helps governments. The King James Version says administrations. Diversities of tongues. So we have governments. We have governments of the church. We have administrations of the church. We have the leadership of the church. And this spirit, Barabbas, comes to first take away and permanently deprive the rightful position of the leader. It targets leadership and then moves down to attack everyone else heading up towards leadership. It will try to prevent leadership from happening in a person's life. You may have been on the road to leadership and something comes along and just pulls the rug out from underneath you. That's Barabbas, taking it away from you. You may have been destined for leadership in the body of Christ, and then something happens that snatches that away from you. Some trouble stirs up against you so that you cannot get in that position. And you're scratching your head. You don't know why. And that's because there's an evil spirit at work. It's trying to exchange, like at the cross, the good for the bad. It's trying to, what it did for Jesus, is trying to exchange and switch the godly for the ungodly. At the cross for Jesus, trying to do it to your position and leadership. The ministries that you would have gotten were switched for a false ministry, maybe. Maybe you have this thing that you're going down the road with now, and you're looking back at it and say, that's not what I started off doing and working in and what I feel that God called me to do. And now I'm going down this road somewhere else. And it may have been noble to them, a noble thing that you're doing or you're thinking and you're ministering in. And all of a sudden it was switched. It was like something happened. You've taken a detour down the wrong road of ministry, thinking that that was the right road of ministry. And even though it looked legitimate and noble, now you find yourself going in the opposite direction to what God had in mind. Some brother or sister puts his arm around you and says, "Brother, sister, this isn't right in your life. This is exactly the opposite to what God has, or what God says, or what God leads." And you seem to be going in that direction. And so you find yourself on the wrong road of ministry. Now that's Barabbas. That's the spirit of Barabbas. And because it switched the godly for the ungodly. And this is what the spirit of Barabbas does. It stirs up trouble and surrects authority by word, letter, or deed. Tries to bring failure to leadership. Causes oppression, strife, depression, rejection. Tries to bring failure to that leadership. It tries to bring you down the wrong road of ministry by detouring you. It prevents you and stops you from entering into your rightful position of leadership. God had a plan for you, and you're not there. Now you're in a different plan. You're on some other road. Now you're heading in with deliberate intent, trying to make... It's heading against you with deliberate intent to try to make you fall, to destroy your reputation, to destroy your... by twisting the truth about you. Anybody ever have that happen? Yeah, okay, hands raising up all over the place. Say this with me. I command out of me the spirit of Barabbas and all kindred spirits. You, the one who tries to insurrect the established order of God in my life and overthrow it, to overturn it, to upset it, to derail it, to stir up and cause trouble in my ministry, in my future ministry, in my present ministry. You, the one that comes to steal, deprive me, spiritually murder me, and stir up trouble against me. I command you to leave me in the name of Jesus. I command you out and away from me. The spirit of finger pointing, character assassination, bitterness, inward judging, outward judging, gossip, slander, maligner of the flock, destruction, troublemaker, mocker, belittler, hater of the church government, demolition, lies, twisting spirits, untruth, half-truths, distortions, exaggerations, traitor, overthrower of church leadership, false accusations, murmuring, ridicule, fighting, factions, false witness. You, the spirit that tries to deprive me of my rightful position of leadership. You, the one who tries to bring failure to my ministry, to switch the true ministry with a false ministry. You, the one who tries to detour me, to take me down the wrong road of ministry, the wrong way of ministry. Depression, rejection, failure. Leave me now. Now take a deep breath and blow out. Go! In the name of Jesus, get out! In the name of Jesus, get out! Get out! Go! Athaliah is the next one. The next leader who attaches to ministry to destroy. the spirit of Athaliah. Now, Athaliah was the queen of Judah from 842 through 836 B.C. She was the daughter of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel of the northern kingdom of Israel. She also was the wife of King Jeroboam of Judah and the mother of King Ahaziah. A-H-A-Z-A-I-H. Ahaziah. Following Ahaziah's death at the hands of Jehu, Athaliah seized power and killed all the members of her family. She killed all who were in the royal family, all the seed of royalty who were possible rivals for the throne. Okay? They were in position to receive the throne except Joash, the infant son of Ahaziah, who had been rescued by his aunt, Jehosheba, his nurse, his aunt, and hidden in the house of the priest, whose name was Jehoiada. There's a lot of words in there, aren't there? Everybody confused? Okay, here we go. The queen of Athaliah, the queen of Judah, she just slaughtered her royal family so that nobody could be in the line of leadership there, so that she can. And one got away, her grandson. That's who he was. He was the grandson. And he was hidden in the house of the priest. Now, he was hidden for 7 years. When Joash was 7 years old, Jehoiada, the priest, conspired to have the young man crowned in the temple as king. And when he got the aid of the army officers and said, "Surround him and issue weapons," AK-47s, "issue weapons to the group of loyal soldiers." And then Jehoiada, the priest, anointed 7-year-old Joash as king. Okay, that's the history of that. Now, here's what we come to. We come to when Queen Athaliah heard the commotion. She rushed to the temple to see what was going on. And she found the new king surrounded by army officers and people from all over the land, rejoicing and blowing trumpets. Athaliah ripped her clothes in distress and yelled, "Treason, treason." Remember who she was? She was Jezebel's daughter. She was bloodthirsty. And she was ruthless, dominating, manipulating like her mom. Jehoiada, the priest, told the army officers to take her out of the temple and kill her. Just slaughter her in the palace stables. So they took her out, and they did. Then others destroyed the pagan temple of Baal and destroyed the pagan idols. All that Baal worship was still going on in Israel. And you'll find the story behind that in 2 Chronicles, verse 22, verse 10 through 12, and also chapter 23. 2 Chronicles, chapter 22, verse 10 through 12, and 2 Chronicles, chapter 23. And so the Spirit goes after the ones, watch this now, this Spirit, Athaliah, goes after the ones in line for royalty to receive their crown, right? Right? So the Spirit goes after the chosen ones in line for royalty, the ones in line to rule and reign. The line to rule and reign. Okay? And the natural. And the spiritual as well. So it sounds like that the believers, as believers, we're the ones to rule and reign, are we not? "For you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you may proclaim the praises of him. For you were called out of darkness, into his marvelous light, into his marvelous light." You're a royal priesthood.
Amen.
You're a royal priesthood.
Hallelujah.
Guess what? You've got crowns. I keep telling you to take them off, but now you can put them on. Come on. You're a royal priesthood. Now, Athaliah is after the royal seed. Athaliah is after that chosen generation, the royal priesthood. And now God has chosen you as a royal priesthood. You're in the royal line. And every evil spirit will go after the royal line of Athaliah. Athaliah, that spirit will try to take you out. Now pray with this with me. I break the curse off of my life. And I command out of me
the spirit of Athaliah.
The spirit of Athaliah.
I command the spirit that makes me seek to destroy apostles. Now we're going to go this from two different directions. Prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, and all who are waiting to be called into the ministry of God and not yet in their position. That's exactly what she did. She took them out before they got in their position. To slander them, to destroy them, to destroy their name, destroy their ministries, to draw people away from the royal anointed calling, so that they may follow me or my opinion instead. Now I want you to be honest with yourself. You may have done that. You may have done that. You may have spoken ill of a minister or a ministry. And if that's true, then you need to repent, because you acted just like Athaliah. So, you know, there's times that you judge, and you judge wrong. See, if I've done it, I know you did it. So I've done that. I confess that as sin. I've done that. I've judged wrongly. And I've judged ministries and ministers wrongly. And I acted just like that. So I think you did too. I'm not alone in this. So be honest with yourself. Say this: you, the one that tries to seize power, by putting down ministers and ministries, to cut their life short, I command you to leave me now. In Jesus' name. Now, all of you who are ministers and have been called in a ministry, heading towards ministry, listen. You don't have to be in the fivefold ministry for this. It could be the worship, like I said, the worship team, the Sunday school teacher, the nursery school helper, the prophetic teacher, the flag arts or the flag teacher, the kitchen help in the back here helps. It could be the janitor. It could be somebody speaking against your ministry. Right? And say this now. I command the spirit of Athaliah to sever itself from me and fall from its assignment. Now, in the name of Jesus Christ, I claim the power of the shed blood of Jesus Christ between me and the spirit of Athaliah. And I command you to leave me now in Jesus' name. Take a deep breath, blow out. Go! In Jesus' name. Now remember, this spirit killed. This is it. This spirit killed. Say, I command the spirit of the law of sin and death. Romans 2:8-2. So leave me now. In the name of Jesus. I command the spirit of the shadow of death. Psalm 23:4. So leave me. In the name of Jesus. I command the spirit of the wages of sin, which brings death. Romans 6:23. To leave me. In the name of Jesus. I command the spirit of the sting of death. 1 Corinthians 15:56. To leave me. In the name of Jesus. I command the spirit that lust and birth sin, that brings forth death in me, James 1:15, to leave me in the name of Jesus. I command every spirit of natural and spiritual death, murder, hatred, dead works, dryness in life, dryness in ministry, oppression, unfertileness, destruction. The spirit that attacks from Athaliah. Every spirit that wants to seize power by destroying my rightful place in my royal priesthood that God gave me. Every spirit that is trying to destroy my royal lineage. Go in the name of Jesus. Take a deep breath. Blow out. Go in the name of Jesus. Get out. Get out. Go in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Are we there yet? Okay. We only have
97 more pages.
How are we going to go? All of you.
Okay, the Absalom spirit. Okay. Actually, there was one more I should have put in here, and I didn't put in this book. And the next time it's printed, I will, and that's Korah's Rebellion. Okay, so, and maybe we'll just open the Bible and just go at it from there. But right now, we'll just take care of the spirit of Absalom. The story can be found in 2 Samuel, chapters 13 through 18.
This is the end of part A. Please play part B. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.